This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good afternoon, man.
Man, good afternoon to you too, sir. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. As we've talked about over the past couple weeks, you know, it's getting kind of real. So, man, things are moving along, and we're doing fine, man. Things are crazy, but everything's great. So, yeah, hope you're doing well. What's going on with you?
Oh, you know, just got life getting somewhat back to normal with the kids back in school. Thank goodness. But I like this though. We need to address this because obviously those that have been listening for the last couple of episodes are very much aware of the fact that baby time is right around the corner. We're getting very close to the arrival of Cole 0.0 or whatever you want.
Right.
yeah. The new mini John David. So here's the deal. While this happens, I wanted to make sure that you had some good time off to adjust to the new reality.
And, that's so
you know,
kind,
spend time,
man,
with your wife and your child. Yeah, man. Well, you know, and it's not just me. There's been some friends who have expressed a desire to help out as well. And so, we don't know, obviously, yet when the date is coming. We're presuming sometime in early October.
No, mid-September.
Mid-September. Oh, snap. So, like,
coming up so soon, it, baby. We
could,
are here,
could
baby.
Be tomorrow.
Yep. Yeah, it really could, but we were, like, from our due date, 2.5 weeks out. So,
gosh,
yeah, man, it's getting real. Yeah, we're here.
That's crazy. You know, the funny thing is, man, I was just talking to another friend who they are having their first, and I say another friend who's having their first. And so I'm trying to keep up with everybody's kid. I remember because Charlie and John had their kids too back to back, and I could never remember which one was.
I know. Yeah, it something's in the water. At some point, We're going to figure out what causes all this and put an end to it. But yeah, for now.
Yeah. And no, of course, nobody knows who Charlie and John are, but they know. And thanks.
No, they do. They do. Yeah. And one of them.
Anyway, here's
is
the deal.
Probably listening. Yeah.
That's right. So with this being right around the corner, once the go time happens. John David, if you're cool with it, I will probably post out to Facebook letting folks know that the Mrs. is either going into labor or once the baby's had, whatever you're comfortable with. But regardless, I'll put some messaging out on Facebook to let y'all know what's going on. Now, fear not. While John David Cole will be out changing diapers, we have got some very large shoes to fill. And so I have tapped some folks with even bigger feet. And so we've got some guest hosts that I think is going to be a lot of fun. We've got an entire series lined up with one in particular guest host. Should I tease it? Should I say it?
Nah, I don't know. Let it trickle a little bit longer.
Well, you know, it's one of these things. If you know the show, then you probably know who's coming on to fill in. But we got a fun. I'll say this: we got a fun series about pipe smoking, kind of around the world and traveling and that sort of thing, and various areas, the Caribbean and Western Europe and pipes in these different areas. So really excited to get those out to you guys for this period of time in which John David, it's going to be changing diapers. So that is going to come.
Take a little sabbatical.
Yeah. And it very well may be next week. We don't know. It might not be, but it may be. But we don't know.
It is so nerve-wracking, man. Yeah, things are crazy, but I'm excited. You know, the show obviously will go on, and I know it's in good hands. So
that's right, man. It's gonna be good. Well, hey, of course, we've got a great show plans, but first we want to make sure that everybody is aware that one thing that is definitely happening in mid-October is the Texas Pipe Show.
That's right.
Pop Safari Room, man. We got to make sure that everybody's aware. Head over to Pop's Safari Cigar Room out in Fort Worth, Dallas area for the Texas Pipe Show. It's a great show. The guys that are running it, longtime friends of the show. And we love them. They do great work. And we know that y'all are all going to have a blast out there. Please Enjoy a pipe on us. Yeah, we'll Photoshop John David in.
Man, it's so sad that I'm not going to be there. Of course, man, we've been there for the past few years now, and man, it's just such a sweet show, such a great show. It's not a really huge crowd, but a big crowd, and lots of really enthusiastic folks from all over the country, and particularly the Southwest. There's just such a big pipe smoking community in Texas, and that area is a nice showcase for it. Pop Safari Room, it's a fun shop. It's a quirky shop. You know, they've got like cigars, they've got pipe tobacco, they've got this big lounge with all these deer heads and stuff. And
that's awesome. I mean,
he's
like,
he's got a really good wine selection. You know, there's just a lot going on there. I mean, they'll make you an espresso drink while you're hanging out. Go have fun. Go fly the Country Squire radio flag and let everyone know that I hate that I'm not there. So,
yeah, like just the right amount of taxidermy.
No, you know, yeah. No, crazy. That's a good point. It's a tasteful amount of taxidermy. Yeah.
Yeah. Tasteful taxidermy. That, you know, that would be a great name for a taxidermist.
Oh, tasteful taxidermy. Yeah. No, I like that.
I like that. Anyway. All right, man. Well, like I said, we've got a great show for the folks today. We are doing a pipe smoking 101. Now, these episodes are great because for many folks, you know, like I mentioned, many folks have listened for quite some time, but I always try to keep in mind that every single episode is somebody's first episode. And this always reigns even more true with the Pipe Smoking 101 episodes. Not only do we hear that feedback, but we also see it directly reflected in the numbers. Oftentimes, these are some of our largest downloaded episodes because, and they become kind of gateways to the entire podcast.
Yeah.
Because folks are, you know, discovering pipe smoking. They want to learn more about it, and they see the 101 as kind of like a friendly welcoming title to let them know, like, hey, we're not going to judge you for not, you know, when when you hear grain and you think rice, like, no, you are more than welcome here. You know what I mean? Like, we'll help bring you along.
That's
and,
right.
And happy to do it. But this is great because this is actually a Pipe Smoking 101 that came from last week. The question was asked last week, what makes a pipe a good pipe? And as we were kind of doing the show prep, and we knew that we had kind of a one-on-one episode coming up pretty soon, we thought, you know what, this actually makes for a really good deep dive kind of question for those that are looking to make the purchase.
Yeah.
Because they come into the shop, they've got maybe they have a budget in mind, maybe they don't. But it can be a little overwhelming, especially if you've got a quality selection at your local pipe shop. It can be a little overwhelming to know where to begin. And so knowing whether or not a pipe is good, and in fact, what makes it good, is, you know, it's something you need to know. So, John David, what makes a pipe a good pipe?
What makes a good pipe a good pipe? Yeah, it's kind of like what makes a good kid, or what makes your favorite meal, your favorite meal, right? There's a lot baked into that question. There's a lot that's kind of built into that and some assumptions that you might have to make. And so, man, you know, when you ask a question like that to a seasoned pipe smoker that's been, you know, smoking a pipe for quite a while, they probably have a lot of thoughts about that initially. Some folks might be even like, well, you know, why would you even ask that? Every pipe can be a good pipe and blah, 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 you know, which is understandable. But this is a very reasonable question for a new pipe smoker. For one of these 101 episodes where we like to tackle some of these questions and situations where, you know, you just kind of need to explain it. Well, what makes a good pipe? It's a reasonable question for a new pipe smoker. And so we'll answer it from a couple different perspectives today. We're going to talk about, first off, you know, the mechanics and things like that that go into it that make it a quality pipe, something that is likely to smoke well. And then we'll talk about it a little more broadly and add some different thoughts in there too. So, you know, it's funny when people come in, right? I think the first thing that they always are drawn to is that pipe is $50 or, you know, $40, and this pipe over here is $300. So what am I buying? You know, if you're a new pipe smoker, and it's an understandable question. Right?
It's a question I would argue that all of us had at one point. You know what I mean? Like the more even those who have been in the hobby for longer than you and I have been alive, there was that moment you saw that pipe and that price point, and you thought, what?
Really? You know what I mean? I know, right? It's like, man, I'd like to have that pipe, but I've got kids, you know? I've got family. Right. Like, I've got bills. It's one of those things that it can kind of be, you know, nerve-wracking and deceiving, and you think, like, man, is there a rhyme or reason to this? Is there, you know, is there a reason that some are more than others and things of that nature? But you know, we're at that point, we're talking about an expensive pipe, right? A, you know, how much does the pipe cost? We're talking today about a good pipe. What's exactly a good pipe? We want something that, defining a good pipe, I guess, like when I pick it up, it's going to smoke well and be consistent, and you know, the experience will be enjoyable, and you know, it, and all of that, it fits my hand well and all these kinds of things. And so kind of talking about that, if we're going to define a good pipe, I mean, that's kind of the direction in some sense that we want to go in. But again, a fair question for a new pipe smoker, a quality pipe, right? We talk about quality, something that's made well, something that had thought put into it. You know, we'll have a few bullet points here, but the first one obviously is it needs to be made of a good briar. Briar, of course, we know is the root of the white heath tree that is from Southern Europe and also grows in parts of North Africa. And it's an interesting tree. It's a shrub, has this gnarly root ball that's kind of on top of the, or this ball that's on top of the root system there, that just for whatever reason makes a really good material to carve pipes out of. It smokes dry and cool typically. It is durable, lasts a long time. It can take the heat, seasons well, all these kinds of things. And so since the 1830s, it's been the gold standard of pipe making. And so you want to start with, you know, the bare bones of a good pipe is going to be good quality briar. So briar, a seasoned aged briar is, you know, really kind of what you're looking for, as opposed to briar that might have been kiln dried or force dried through the application of heat, something that's going to hurry along the process. Briar that, you know, has been naturally aged. That's kind of what you're looking for. And well, how do you tell? Well, you really can't tell when you're sitting there in the pipe shop and you're kind of looking at different things. Typically from a reputable pipe source, and probably if you're looking for a high quality pipe or a good quote unquote good pipe, and this is your first pipe, you may not want to purchase it on eBay from one of these stores that it's going to take you 3 weeks to, you know, receive your pipe and all that kind of stuff. You know, if it's from a trusted source, there's a good chance that that briar has been you know, aged naturally and has some time on it so that it's well seasoned. The next thing too, so we talk about the good briar, the quality of the briar itself, and keep in mind, we're not talking yet about the grain of the pipe or anything like that, just the quality of the wood, right? Is that a good piece of wood? And so, you know, the briar needs to be of that material. You want your stem to fit flushly and snugly to that shank. And so when you're looking at a pipe, it's like, man, is this a good pipe? Well, you want the stem to obviously be well-formed and not have any kind of weird, you know, shapes or moldings or anything on it. A lot of times these, you know, more cheaper pipes that tend to not smoke as well, you'll find little deformities on the stem where maybe they were machined improperly or something. So just a stem that, you know, is very simple, but also looks very, very, you know, thoughtfully made. And then you want that connection where the stem meets the bowl of the pipe, the stem, you know, the rubber material or the acrylic meets the wood of the pipe. You want that to fit snugly, and you want it to be very flush and sound right there. That's important for a few reasons. Number one, it'll be a little easier to clean. Your pipe will be much more likely to take a pipe cleaner all the way through the pipe. And also, it won't allow air and moisture to escape through that area, which will eventually harm the wood of the pipe and make it more difficult to clean, if that's the case as well. And plus, it just won't, you know, if you've got a little bump right there where it doesn't fit, it'll make that kind of a funky transition that doesn't really feel good on your hand. So number one, good briar. Number two, you want that stem and the shank to fit properly. Number three, you know, you want it to be drilled correctly. And so drilling is a lot more important on a pipe than most people think, or at least new pipe smokers think. The drilling of the pipe, you want the air hole that enters into the chamber, the tobacco chamber, the bowl of the pipe. You want that air hole to be right there at the bottom and not up too high. If it's there at the bottom, your you know, tobacco is much more likely to get lit properly, to stay lit properly, to not, you know, smoke too wet and all that kind of stuff. So the location of that draft hole coming center of the pipe, very center, not to the left or the right, but the very center, and then falling right there to the bottom of the bowl.
All right, so let me ask you this. To the untrained naked eye,
yeah,
how, like, you know, because, I mean, again, these are kind of new pipe smokers and everything.
Yeah,
how,
no, that's good.
How are you best to identify that?
Yeah. So if you hold the pipe that you're considering, look down into the bowl, and you may have to use a little flashlight or something. A lot of folks, when they're shopping for pipes in our shop, though, they'll pull out their iPhone or, you know, smartphone and get the flashlight on their phone and look down in there. And you just want to make sure that the hole at the bottom of the bowl, when you're looking into the pipe, the little hole that's at the very bottom there, that it lines up perfectly with the stem of the pipe, right? You want it to be all in line right there, going straight down the middle of the stem and the shank of the pipe. The shank is that, veteran pipe smokers know, is that, you know, wood area that extends from the bowl to the stem there. And so you just want all that in a really good line. And then you also want that little hole that's at the very bottom of the chamber to come out at the bottom, at the actual bottom of the chamber, and not up on the side. And it needs to really be there, kind of touching the bottom.
That's good. Okay.
Yeah. So the drilling, obviously very important. The holes lining up and all that kind of stuff. And typically, too, as I mentioned briefly before, like a good pipe, a lot of times will run a pipe cleaner all the way through into the bowl without having to take it apart. And so we talk, you know, occasionally about that. Folks a lot of times like to clean their pipes after every smoke. That's what I try to do. I highly encourage it. You know, and so if you're, it makes it easier if you can run a pipe cleaner all the way from the end of the stem into the very heart of the bowl without having to take your pipe apart. And so on a good pipe, that's something you'll look for, right? And a lot of folks, when they come to shop for pipes in our shop, what they'll do is they'll either bring a pipe cleaner or ask for one, and they'll try to run a cleaner through the bowl before they smoke it, or, you know, before they purchase it. So obviously that doesn't happen with a filtered pipe, right? You've got a filter sometimes that's in the middle of that pipe, and, you know, that doesn't happen, and because you've got the filter. The filter performs some of those functions as well, and so that's okay. You know, if you have a filtered pipe, it's doing its own job that's different from the non-filtered pipes. But if you got a non-filtered pipe, it's probably a good idea to see if it'll run a pipe cleaner through there. Another thing, too, you know, what makes a good pipe? A lot of times, you know, these more inexpensive pipe companies that maybe haven't spent as much time on their pipe, or, you know, just haven't thoughtfully manufactured it, a lot of times they'll cover up blemishes by applying a very high gloss to the pipe. And so you've got these really, really shiny pipes that are out there, you know, that can, it's basically a lacquer. And that lacquer, it makes it look really pretty. It's going to stand out on the shelf. When you see pictures of it on eBay or whatever, you're going to say, man, that's so shiny and attractive. But a lot of times what that does, that film that's on there, number one, it's going to wear off, so it's not going to look as, if you continue to use the pipe, so it won't look as pretty for long. But what that does is that extra layer that's been applied there is going to retard the ability of the heat to escape that bowl, right? It's one more layer, it's one more barrier for the heat to escape the pipe bowl. And so that pipe is going to smoke hot. It just typically does. And so just a nice stain that's on the pipe without that real, real glossy finish, you know, is preferable. And we think of a good pipe having just a very high quality stain and not really needing that extra bit of lacquer that's on there. So you do have some manufacturers and carvers, what they'll do is they'll thin that lacquer out a little bit. And that's acceptable. That is, you've got some great pipe brands out there that you know, will make a shinier pipe, but, you know, they do it in a way that, you know, allows the, you know, the integrity of the briar to maintain, and that really helps. And so I think of companies like Nording, Nirup, Chacombe. You know, a lot of times you'll see their pipes and they're really shiny, but it's not like that real heavy lacquer that on an inexpensive kiln dried pipe or something that sometimes you find.
With that, I mean, with all these, it feels like, I want to say something that I know would be considered controversial, but when does that ever stop me?
I know, right? Go ahead.
It almost seems like you can't really purchase a good pipe knowing it's a good pipe online. Like, you have to be present.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's tough, right? Because people do it all the time. But at the same point, like, okay, so you're on your favorite web you know, online retailer, and you find a pipe that you're very interested in. I mean, and I guess people do this occasionally. I mean, you know, with the Country Squire, we have an online store and we sell pipes online. All that, we sell a lot of them online. Yeah. That's, as a matter of fact, if you buy one, you'll be contributing to our diaper fund. But you know, but you know, but most people that purchase pipes online like that though aren't asking the retailer for, hey, can you take a photo of the inside of the bowl for me? I really want to make sure that that thing lines up. Hey, can you run a pipe cleaner through that pipe just to make sure that runs for me? Those are things that people have asked me to do before, and I'm happy to do that and have before, because frankly, I like to do those same things when I'm purchasing a pipe. When you're buying online, you're not sitting there looking at it. Sometimes you don't think to do that, or maybe you're afraid that, well, if I email this retailer these questions, it might, you know, just be more trouble than it's worth, or whatever. And so, but those are things that are worth, you know, at least considering when you're purchasing a pipe. One thing about working in a small shop and other small retailers across the nation that that also do some online business is a lot of times we are happy to take some additional photos of the pipe or ask questions, answer questions about that. Folks have asked me to, you know, do all kinds of stuff and, you know, set pipes next to other pipes identical to the ones they already own, so they can kind of see how they look in comparison with size and shape and all that kind of stuff. And so extra weight measurements, and it's fun, right? That's part of the process. So if you do have a retailer kind of up your sleeve that's out there, you know, not necessarily us, but someone else in the business that's willing to work with you like that, you know, it can be helpful. So
I was not trying, and I want to make clear, I was not trying to like put down online retailers at all. It's just you know, part of this, right? Yeah, is that, yeah, you know, I remember I actually got a debate years ago with a cigar salesman. And I think he was actually at the Squire, and the two of us were kind of talking about the purchase process and everything else in terms of buying a pipe and whether or not buying online is the same thing as buying in store. And we kind of got into it. And it's funny because, like, I feel like I may have reversed my position back then than what it is now. Or,
yeah. Yeah.
But it was, I don't even remember where it was. But anyway, when you know, kind of looking at a lot of these very hands-on approaches to gauging the quality of a pipe, like I say, it just feels as though you need to have that tactile experience.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the one thing about handling the pipe, I mean, that does, you know, really help you figure out if you're going to be able to connect with it. Like, man, that you see a beautiful pipe, you're like, man, that pipe is so pretty and all that. And maybe even think, you know, just looking at it like, that would fit well in my hand, or, you know, it would hang easily in my mouth, or something of that nature. But then you hold it, right? Then you pick it up and you like try it on, right? And yeah, so sometimes it doesn't fit, or maybe you're like, oh, well, you know, I thought that would work, but the gap there, that angle, it's not really good for my thumb, or it's a little heavier than I thought, that kind of thing. And so I mean, it's just something to keep in mind. So all the things we've talked about, you know, before, up until now, these are things that in general are going to give you a good smoke, right? They're good pipes. These are, things to look at for a pipe to know, okay, this pipe is going to give me the best chance of having a quality smoke. And that is good briar that's been naturally aged, a stem that fits flushly. The drilling is well made. The holes line up. It runs a pipe cleaner, and it's got a nice kind of subtle stain and all that. And so, man, if all those things are there, I think you're putting yourself in a position to find a good quality pipe that probably you'll really enjoy. Now having said that, right? So we've talked about these things, and like, the old timer that's out there. Well, you know, these are, you know, I spent all this money on this pipe over here, but I pull for the, you know, Dr. Grabo pipe that I bought at the thrift store, you know, 30 years ago, right? That's the one I actually enjoy smoking. And it's like, well, to that person, what is a good pipe, right? What really does make that good pipe good? You know, is it the one that hits your, you know, fits your hand just right? I mean, that's what makes a good pipe, perhaps. You know, it's the one you always pull for, right? It's the one that you've got all these pipes on the shelf, and I've got a, you know, particular Kamoy that that I really enjoy smoking. I've also got an older Stanwell I really enjoy smoking. These pipes look like dogs. They look, frankly, like they've been chewed on by a dog. and man, I pull for those pipes so many more times than I do a few of my Dunhills and a few of my, more high-end pipes. And so, which ones are you pulling for, right? Which ones of the pipes that you have, are they easy to keep lit effortlessly? You know, maybe because they're drilled just right on the inside, or maybe because the certain type of tobacco that you like to smoke fits in that particular bowl really, really well. You know, maybe it's, something to do with that. It also might be, the one that holds the right amount of tobacco, right? Maybe you have a small pipe, or maybe your goal in smoking a pipe is, for your lunch break. And, well, you don't need a big, a gigantic, Nording or, something of that nature that's got a chamber where you could smoke a 3-hour bowl. Maybe you need that small kind of lunch break pipe, and maybe that special time makes it your favorite pipe and therefore a good pipe. Also, which of your pipes smoke coolly? We've got some pipes that, even a nicer pipe might smoke a little on the hotter side, because it's maybe the wrong size, or just something in the wood that is making it kind of squirrely, and who knows, but what's the pipe that smokes cool? And then lastly, what makes a good pipe? The tobacco makes a good pipe. The tobacco, so much of the experience, right? It's like it's almost like saying, well, what makes a good meal? Does the plate make a good meal? Like, is the do you feel better when you eat your meal off this particular plate?
That is not a one for one.
It's not a one for one. But at the same time, it's like, well, a lot of the smoking experience is going to depend on the tobacco, right? Mm, and so, the amount of care that's gone into the blending of the tobacco, and is the tobacco too wet? Does it have some kind of additive to it that doesn't taste right to you? That particular bowl that you're smoking, would it be better suited for a type of tobacco that maybe you don't smoke very often, or something of that nature? And a lot of that's just trial and error, but really the quality of the tobacco, that's gonna also make a good pipe. So you've got these kind of things that are opposed to each other, but really those bare bones basics, right? Is it good briar? Does the stem fit well? Is it drilled properly? And things of that nature. If you are find yourself like, okay, well, that's right. That, I've got that in a pipe. It might be a homely pipe, or it might be something that, was not particularly expensive, but all those boxes are checked. Well, you've probably got a good pipe, And over and above that, what you might be paying for, you're like, well, this is a good pipe and it was $60, and this is a good pipe and it was $200. Well, what gives? And that difference there might be something like the time that particular pipe was aged, the material that the stem was made of, if the stem was handmade or if it was machine made. Is the precision on that particular pipe just exquisite? Is there no, could you not even put a razor through the gap there between the stem and the briar? Are all the connections just flawless? Maybe it's a creative design that's really hard to pull off, and so it's just an aesthetic thing, but it's really cool looking and it'd be hard to duplicate, and so that price difference may play into that. And are there any fancy adornments or anything, right? Is it covered in sterling silver, or does it have a some type of band on it that is decorative that might add some value to it? And so and then, of course, we haven't talked about this at all, but you have the grain, right? Grain of the briar, whether it's sandblasted or smooth. Is the grain a tight bird's eye where you've got these beautiful medallions covering the flanks of the pipe? Is it a nice, tight, straight grain where you've really got these beautiful parallel painted looking veins that run through the briar? Or is it an exquisite sandblast that, like we talked about just recently, a few weeks ago, where that sandblast, it's got a cascading wave that has been incredibly thoughtfully produced and accentuates just the hard cross grain of that briar. Those are things to things to keep in mind, and that might make a good pipe that's $50 different from a good pipe that's $150. But you know, you can have a good pipe at both price points. And again, I think it goes back to those fundamentals on one side, like, okay, is it good briar? Is it manufactured properly and all that? But then, you know, at the end of the day, do I like smoking it? Right? Is it something I like to pull for? Is it something, right. You know, when my wife catches me smoking my pipe on the front porch, you know, is it one of those she sees more often than not? And those are the, you know, those are the pipes that you wind up falling in love with. And sometimes they might be beat up old pipes, but they can be your favorite. And occasionally your Dunhills and other fancy pipes will get jealous. So
make those other pipes jealous. I love it.
I know, right? Yeah.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's man, you've given a lot of good tips, tricks to kind of identify, and then also, I think, you know, this is always something that we try to do. I think with most of these topics, where there's a sense of guidance and nerdiness, is always that reminder of, you know, a good pipe for you is the pipe that you enjoy, and I think that's good. Way to land on that one.
Yeah, I think that's really, I hope so. Yeah. Well, and obviously, right, you know, your mileage may vary. I mean, these are things that, you know, we've got, you know, folks that, you know, you're going to have to, you may have to purchase a few pipes and kind of start comparing, right, to see what you like and all that stuff. But as far as, you know, just a bare bones good pipe, I think if you're paying attention to the things we talked about today, maybe you'll have some better odds of finding something that, you know, that smokes well right out of the gate.
That's good. That's good, man. Well, you know, one company that we always know makes some great quality pipes, always some good pipes, and specifically some good corncob pipes, is our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
That's right. That's right, man. We love the folks at Missouri Meerschaum, and of course, are so grateful for them sponsoring this show. And today, we have a special pipe, again, that we're talking about this week. It's the Franklin Pipe, and it is a continued celebration of their 150th anniversary. They came out with a series of different pipes this year, kind of, you know, this historic company that we love and makes these iconic American original pipes. And the Franklin is a beautiful bulldog-shaped pipe. It's a straight bulldog with a diamond shank, a really handsome metal band, and a high quality stem there on the end. And just, man, it's a classic bulldog. It's one of those that folks have been pining over for decades and asking Missouri Meerschaum to make again. And man, they finally caved. They gave into the pressure. And man, we are so thankful. It's a very, very good looking bulldog pipe. Again, only comes in a straight variety. Does not have a filter. So the purest may find it more enjoyable, but you know, has that nice hallmark canted bowl there, or the kind of clipped off bowl there at the top to you know, to form the bulldog shape, and then that signature ring around the side there. And so 150 years stamped on there, as well as Missouri Meerschaum's you know, beautiful logo. And so it could be yours. You could just go to corncobpipe.com and check it out right there. Very reasonably priced for this pipe, and I think you'll be very happy with it.
Yeah, and before too long, we'll all have one. I mean, it's a collector's item indeed. And,
absolutely.
If you've got one, be sure to smoke it this week. Take a picture of yourself doing so. Tweet it out to us. We'd love to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know. We appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man. Pipe question of the week. This one's coming in from Mike Melinda. Mike says, "Hey, guys, I have a question that I hope you can help me with. I have a Moretti bamboo shank Morta billiard that smokes like a dream. The only problem is that every time I run pipe cleaners through the shank, it gets stuffed with the cotton from the pipe cleaner. This happens with dry and wet cleaners. The problem keeps me from smoking the pipe more often because I have to spend a good 5 minutes or so to get all that stuck on fluff from inside the shank in order to get a draw. Any help you could offer on this would be greatly appreciated. Thanks." And again, that's coming from Mike. Man, this kind of ties in a little bit here.
Yeah, man, no kidding. You know, Moretti bamboo shank Morta billiard. I mean, that's code for that wasn't a cheap pipe.
Yeah.
You know, and so there you go, right? What makes a good pipe? Well, I mean, this obviously was an expensive pipe. It's a nice pipe, Morta is a hard material to work with and therefore tends to be a little more expensive. Bamboo shanks, they tend to add a little more value to the pipe because they're rare and a little more delicate and hard to work with. And then a Moretti, I mean, this is a handmade Italian, you know, Moretti, just a fantastic, you know, company, typically makes an excellent pipe, but this one has some issues, right, that Mike has experienced and hasn't been happy with, and therefore for Mike so far, this hasn't really been a good pipe. You know, so one thing to keep in mind, you know, is that a lot of times the drilling on these pipes can be kind of squirrely. Now, I wonder if the pipe in the shank area there that you're talking about, Mike, if that has been drilled too narrowly. And so that could be part of the problem there, is that maybe this pipe was not quite, you know, drilled properly. It sounds like it'll run a cleaner through there, but the cleaner tends to get kind of a film that something happens in there where the particles of the pipe cleaner start to come off and stick in there, and that this is something that you don't experience with other pipes. And so so I do think that you know, that is an issue with the pipe. It's not necessarily a user error, which is so often my problem is more on my side. But yeah, you know, what I would do in this situation, to be honest with you, I've done this before with other pipes that I think, you know, just have not, there's been something off about the drilling. You can actually send pipes like this to pipe makers, right? Mm-hmm. Or a pipe repairman. They can actually drill this out a little bit for you, or maybe kind of clean up the internal, you know, the air passage there for you a little bit. There's probably something in that air passage that's not quite done right, that's maybe snagging on the cleaner, or maybe collecting some extra moisture, or just making it a little thinner in one area than it should be. You know, I if this is a pipe you really want to see if you can get it to smoke how it should and how it deserves to for a beautiful, nice pipe like this, you know, I'd send it off to, you know, one of your favorite pipe repair people, you know, folks like Tim West, Reborn Pipes, Norwood's Pipe Repair. I mean, there's a bunch of them, you know, but if you go to one of these places and maybe have them drill out, maybe just kind of clean up the internal, you know, air draft hole there of your pipe, you know, they would be happy to do that. You'll obviously, they'll charge you a fee for doing that, but it'll be worth it. And of course, a pipe that this nice, that should smoke like a dream, and certainly shouldn't have you know, pipe cleaner cotton getting stuffed in the shank. You know, I think that'll help out. So I don't know, maybe give that a shot if it's something that that you wind up, you know, getting tired of and don't really want to fight with anymore. Maybe sell the pipe, but if, you know, if this is a pipe that you want to keep, that's probably the next step I would go with. And if you, you know, if you feel comfortable yourself, maybe with a very, you know, small drill or something, getting in there and kind of opening it up, you could. Although working with mortar like that and working with bamboo, yeah, it could be difficult. So I don't know. I good luck to you. I hope the situation resolves itself. But yeah, it sounds like there was something not quite right with the drilling of this pipe, and I think the only way you're going to fix that is maybe if it's cleaned up a little bit.
That's good. Well, great question, Mike. Best of luck to you. And hey, if you've got a pipe question for us, be sure to send it in, show@countrysquireradio.com. again, that's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
Quick fire question. All right, man, quick fire questions brought to us by Country Squire Radio t-shirts, or I should say t-shirt, because of course we are sold out of the Squire Scallywag shirt, but the This Is Not a Podcast pipe shirt is available to you at thecountrysquireonline.com. All right. Now then, as you may recall, last week there was a essay sent in from good friend of the show, longtime listener Jim Nelson.
Yes.
Who gave us kind of a rundown of some various pirates and thought that even though there was no pipe related content there, that it would make for a great quick fire question related content. And so here we are now with Jim Nelson's pirate inspired quick fire questions. Are you
quick
ready?
Quick fire questions. Okay. Yeah. Bring it.
All right. Better pirate name, William Dampier or Miss Han Cho Lo?
I mean, really? Is there even a, I mean, is there a contest? Like, I think Miss Honcho Low, you have to go with that, right?
All the way. All
I think
the
you
way.
Do. I think 10 times out of 10. Like, I mean, no offense to William Dampier, but dang.
Yeah. I mean, like, she was a boss before she was a boss. I guess that's technically her married name, but still, boss. Anyway, next up, you got the pirate condiment, guacamole or mango chutney?
What? I don't even understand the question.
Now, remember last week, he explained this about the whole Dampier kind of bringing guacamole into the condiment scene and creating or being credited with the popularization of mango chutney.
Yeah, I guess that's right. Gosh, I don't know. I'm going to go with guacamole. I prefer it. I like mango chutney, I think.
John but, David, man, what's chutney?
It's like almost like a mix between a jelly and a salsa, like a chop, but it's like fruits and stuff that are kind of minced, I think, but that it becomes a like a jam or a jelly kind of deal. A lot of people eat it with like crackers and maybe some cream cheese or something of that nature. I don't know. You find it in the real expensive section of your local grocery store.
So they call it chutney and now it's expensive. I'm going to go with the guacamole.
Yeah, I love guacamole, man.
Avocados all the way. All right. Better pirate main dish, roasted manatee belly or grilled flamingo tongue.
Aren't both of these like on the endangered species list?
Well, it was a different time. Listen, you could not pay me money to eat a flamingo tongue.
But the manatee belly, I mean, is it like a pork belly?
Sure. I mean, think about pork belly. It's the same thing.
So it's like manatee bacon. You're basically eating manatee bacon.
I could eat manatee bacon. I mean, well, and not if it's in danger. Please, nobody break into our houses. I'm saying that if I was a pirate and they weren't endangered and that's what we were eating, then I could eat it. But, you know, flamingo tongue, I'm sorry. I cannot even imagine.
I don't know. I guess between the two, now that you say that, like, I mean, I just don't want to eat anything's tongue. Like, I have trouble. You go to these, more authentic Mexican restaurants and they've got this lingua tacos and all this kind of stuff. You can keep that. I don't want any part of that. Like, that's foul. That's nasty. Yeah. I don't want any part of it.
No, I mean, so, I will say this for the larger animals. At least there's actually something there. Like a flamingo's tongue, how big can that be?
Yes. Okay. So I'm going to also join you and go with the roasted manatee belly. And maybe it can have a nice chutney glaze.
Also, if you're eating something's tongue, are you essentially like making out with a dead animal? Think about it.
What's the next question?
All right. All right, it gives a bonus question. It
gives new meaning to tongue bite.
Oh, wow. All right, it says a bonus question. Better midlife career change, a person of the evening to a pirate captain or a pirate captain to a food and travel writer?
I like what you did there. Okay, so the options are person of the evening to pirate captain.
Right, as was the case with Miss Honcho.
Right, right. Or pirate captain to a food and travel writer. Better midlife career change. I would be happy if someone was not a person of the evening anymore became a pirate captain. So I'll pick number one reluctantly.
Interesting. You know, I do. I'll say the same for the same reasons, but I do want to point out, and I could be wrong, Jim, and I'm more than happy to be corrected here. I do not actually believe that Honcho Low was actually said person of the evening. I do think she was more of a madame or a madam who was managing the ladies of the evening, if you will. Okay. So I don't think that she was actually a... Anyway, I'm not. I mean, hey, it's
We're threading it kind of close here for Country Squire Radio.
We got kids that listen. We know that.
I know, right? So we're gonna move on from the evening.
We're just gonna mosey on out of these quickfire questions. But hey, if you've got some quickfire questions, be sure to send them to us. Hey, go ahead and get those baby edition ready because that's gonna be coming soon.
You know that's true. I need all the. Yeah, I do. Obviously, I'm gonna have opinions about baby things that I've never had before, right? And then also maybe I'll need some listener feedback that some good tips, some best practices, right?
Absolutely. All right, so send those in. show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, man. And then listener feedback this week, we got one in from Brandon Linger. And here's
Liniger.
I feel fine with the way that I pronounce that.
Okay, fine. I'm not going to step over your incorrect boundaries.
No, how on earth would I have gotten that right with the way that my mind is programmed? How did you say that?
I said Liniger.
All right. I'm going to call him Brandon L., who writes in saying, Bo and John David, let me start off by saying I am less than 2 weeks into pipe smoking. I went to my local cigar shop to specifically get into pipe smoking. I purchased a Lorenzetti.
Yep.
Augustus.
Nope.
All right. Tell you what, John David, what did Brandon L. have to say this week?
He said, poor Bo, but gosh. okay, so he goes on to say, let me start off by saying I am less than 2 weeks into pipe smoking. I went to my local cigar shop to specifically get into pipe smoking. I purchased a Lorenzetti Augustus Caesar that has been great to learn on. As far as I know, I am the only one that smokes a pipe. Because of this, I have relied on you guys tremendously for help as I teach myself how to properly enjoy pipe smoking. Thank you. I ordered a few ounces of Second Breakfast and Rivendell last week from the Country Squire. JD, I really appreciate the time you took to write your thank you note on the invoice. It is a practice I utilize in my financial practice and really appreciate when I see another professional use it as well. I started on episode 100 and just finished the Pipe Culture Hipsters episode from 2016. On the trip to Scotland, my wife and I recently spent 10 days visiting the country. We are from Oklahoma and Arkansas and have very strong European lineage, and it was exactly like you had said. I felt like the country was filled with people who could be close relatives, incredibly humble and helpful people. If you have the opportunity to go again, I would make sure you attend the Braemar Festival. One thing that I found interesting is that our perception of history, we think 300 years ago is a long time ago. And many of them are living in buildings that are that old. Likewise, 100 miles isn't that far to us, whereas there, the width of the country is a far distance to them. Another practice I wish we would accept as normal is sausage roll, breakfast biscuit, and also a pint of beer for breakfast. Anyway, thank you guys for the knowledge and entertainment. Keep it up. I can't wait to make a trip from Midwest City, Oklahoma to the Squire to meet y'all. And that's from Brandon L. Thank you so much, Brandon. I'm glad, glad you wrote in. Glad we're being a little bit of help to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And man, that's a long flight. So I'm glad we were able to ride along with you for that. Pipe Culture Hipsters. Now that was an episode.
Yeah. We got some feedback on that one too, didn't we?
Yeah. That was a fun one. That was people, we got feedback on that. I think we even addressed it in the episode, but we got feedback before we even released it because people did not know where we were going to take it.
No, that's right. Yeah. So that's exactly right. Yeah. I remember that. Boy, that's 3 years ago. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's been some time. It's man, we've been doing this podcast for a while.
Yeah,
long time. We were you weren't married. I had less kids. You had less kids. It was a different day back then.
I was a different era. Back when I podcasted, I had to walk uphill both ways in the snow, fighting off the rattlesnakes with my corn cob pipe.
Yes, all of that, exactly.
Something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Brandon, thanks so much for that. And hey, if y'all got some listener feedback, y'all feel free to send it in. Of course, we love getting those, especially those iTunes reviews. If you haven't headed over to iTunes yet, be sure to do so. It doesn't cost you a dime to do it, and it's a great way to help support the show. Also, if you don't mind spending a few dimes to help support the show, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/countrysquireradio. This show happens for years on years on years, stacks on stacks on years, because of y'all who support us at patreon.com/countrysquireradio. Couldn't do it without you. In fact, for those of you who go on to become club members, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. We really appreciate that. We are getting pretty close. Whether or not John David will be back next week, go ahead and place your bets now. I'm betting yes. I think the baby's going to be a little bit later.
I agree. I agree. Wait, my hunch is a little late.
Yeah. So I'm assuming next week we gotcha, but we will find out, and you can find out with us. One way or the other, we will keep you up to date. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
And of course, all that and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. All right, man. Well, hey, this is good. Always great
Dude,
to bring in the newer pipe smokers, and it's also nice when the pipe question of the week ends up like solidifying and fitting in nicely with the topic. You know,
exactly.
I'd love to say that we planned that kind of thing. That would be professional. So, so let's say that we planned that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, we planned it. We planned on following dear Providence and his grace for
exactly.
providing us that question.
Yes, yes, man. All right, man. Well, hey, let's go have a day.
See you, brother. Thank you.